The tablets were found fallen from the shelves that held them, which collapsed in the fire that destroyed the palace. And so they scattered as the shelves collapsed. And it's a very evocative image, as you see this vivid example of warfare. The same fire that burned the palace preserved these tablets for us. And so we have really unprecedented and unparalleled evidence here about royal exchange and trade in northern Mesopotamia. The texts used a cuneiform script, but a local Eblite language. And this reminds us that cuneiform is not a language, but rather a script. It also lets us speculate on how the scribes of Ebla learned this cuneiform script. They were clearly quite adept at it and used it on a daily basis. So the fact that the tablets exist and use cuneiform shows very strong links with southern Mesopotamia and a close cultural unity between the two regions. The texts show timber, probably from Lebanon, was a major commodity for the palace at Ebla, as were textiles. The textile industry is not surprising, considering that the king of Ebla personally owned about 80,000 sheep, and the city itself counted about 200,000 sheep, goats, and other cattle owned by various people in the city, and these records were stored in the palace. Gifts of luxury goods, such as we saw at Mari, are also found at Ebla, and these show how powerful the city was. An alabaster jar with the name of an Egyptian pharaoh carved into it shows close contacts with Egypt and also helps provide us with a date for the palace and its destruction. Probably one of the most surprising finds was about 40 pounds of lapis lazuli found in the palace, stored there and preserved as the walls of the palace collapsed. So this is an enormous amount of semi-precious stone that was highly desired and used in jewelry and other goods. In addition to the cuneiform script that shows contacts, intellectual contacts with southern Mesopotamia, a fragment of a piece of furniture inlay that shows very similar iconography to that used in Sumeria was found at the palace of Ebla. The image shows a row of soldiers marching along, crossing over the bodies of the dead, just as we have seen on the stelae of the vultures. And this fragment of furniture allows us to speculate more broadly about goods that have not survived either in texts or in the archaeological evidence itself. So the palace at Ebla may have been a major furniture production area, and this furniture could have been exported to southern Mesopotamia, or artisans from southern Mesopotamia could have traveled to live in Ebla in order to produce furniture for the palace. The end of the early dynastic period shows several conflicts between cities. So we're starting to see that the peaceful era and agricultural lifestyle that we saw in early Mesopotamia is now falling apart under pressure between different cities. We started looking at one of these conflicts in detail, the war between Umma and Lagash, and the victory monuments of Lagash. And we will end by looking at the destruction of this city by Lugalzagezi, the ruler of Umma. Lugalzagezi defeated Uru-Enimgina, who had claimed that he had instituted such widespread reforms for his people. Lugalzagezi also captured the city of Uruk. And so here we see an early example of a ruler who is starting to expand control over numerous cities.